Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
And the following content contains references to suicide and may not be suitable for young or vulnerable ears. As part of a series to highlight the mental health impact on a young person who's lost a parent to suicide, I'm joined on the line by extreme endurance athlete and mental health advocate Danny Quigley. Danny lost his dad, Cullum, to suicide in 2011 when he was only 21. Good morning, Danny. Thank you for agreeing to share your story with us today.
Morning. Thanks for having me there.
21 is not quite a child, but it's still very young. Would you mind telling me a little bit about your dad?
So my daddy was a first of all, he was a great daddy. For me, he was like my best friend. We did a lot of stuff together. Like we trained together for triathlon. My daddy was an international triathlete. He raced for Ireland all over. I did a wee bit of work. We did fitness testing and lactic testing all over Ireland with different athletes all over the place. And but my daddy was a kind, loving father figure, and he would have been a bit strict. Like we wouldn't have got away with much, but he always had our best interests and at heart, and he was just an all round sort of gentleman. And my best friend.
Before he died, Danny, had you been aware if he was struggling with any mental ill health?
There were some signs where he wasn't himself, but in terms of diagnosis and stuff, my daddy wasn't diagnosed to have any mental illness at the time he died. But beforehand, you would have recognized things that my daddy did that wasn't him. He would have been somebody who would have always got us out of bed and got us out and got us moving. We weren't allowed to sit about the house. We were always given a job or given something to do. And around a year before my daddy died, we noticed that my daddy was lying around a wee bit more, and he wasn't as active as much as he would have been. And you know, we noticed wee signs that just wasn't him. I would go as far as saying, like, I believe that he was severely depressed, but as I say, he wasn't diagnosed.
So in hindsight, like, you would say that he suffered with depression looking back, and maybe he was trying to hide it from the people he loved.
Definitely. Like, he didn't want us to see him in that state. Like, he would have maybe removed us from the situation or try to hide it or mask it or somewhat try and find us something to do or something to keep us away. Kind of, I think he recognized that he didn't want us to see him at his weakest. It was something that he probably believed that it was protecting us from getting to that position ourselves. But
And while it was definitely for protection, would you say there was a stigma attached to how he might have been feeling, or even to that word depression at the time?
Definitely. I think my daddy would have been sort of one of these seen as an elite athlete and someone who you would look at as being not just physically strong, but alongside that physical sort of elite category. You kind of confuse it with being mentally strong as well, and a mental eliteness, a mental strength that would be super ordinary. And my daddy would have been seen as that kind of figure to anybody who knew him. No, I think there's a lot of confusion between, you know, being physically strong and endurance and being at an elite level. You kind of sort of think that both go hand in hand, but it's not always the case, you know.
So, Danny, you said there a little while ago that he was like your best friend, and I know that you were very close. How did his death impact you at that time in 2011, you and your family?
So, in 2011, we had a house in Curie and in Burton. We had a house in Bellevue Avenue and Derry, and it kind of put everything on hold, and it put us on the limbo. Whenever my daddy died, it was like, you know, the most destructive kind of thing imaginable. It was kind of where do you go? What do you do? What's the point in anything? It really put me in a position where my daddy worked 40-hour weeks. He was flat out, like he did not stop. It was something that made me question a lot of things. Know a lot of things that my daddy was doing that maybe wasn't good for his mental health, and maybe he had to just take a break from all this stuff. And whenever you've got, you know, there's five of us. Like at the time my daddy died, I'm the eldest, and I have four wee brothers and sisters. You know, he never had that option. You have to just keep her lit and try and get through these things. But maybe what my daddy needed was just someone and some form of support, you know, that came in and rescued him.
And what were things like at home after he died, Danny?
It was destructive. Like, it was totally... I just didn't see the point in anything. My mommy fell into what I would say a severe depression, and my brothers and sisters. Like, you know, there was a lot of mixed emotions in the house. I can only speak for myself in the sense that I just went numb to everything. No, I didn't feel proud or happy if I achieved anything. And at the same time, I didn't feel down and out, because the worst thing had already happened. You know, it was like, where do I go? What am I supposed to feel? It numbed a lot of things, numbed for me for roughly about a year after my daddy died. There was just a limbo. It wasn't as if I was living, and it wasn't as if I was dead. It was just existing, you know, and nothing really motivated me. Nothing. I had no goals. I had no aspirations to be anything or earn anything. I didn't want to own anything. Nothing really mattered. Like, we lost the house. We lost pretty much everything. But it didn't matter, you know, because at the end of the day, like, nothing's going to bring my daddy back. And that was the only thing that was running through my head.
Do you think at the time there was stigma surrounding his death and suicide in general, Danny?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think suicide—the word itself is a conversation stopper. Like, as soon as someone knows that someone's died of a suicide, it kind of puts the brakes on a conversation, and it also just can sometimes make people avoid a conversation because they just don't know what they say. They don't know. They're afraid to upset you. And I think it's whenever suicide's mentioned, it can sometimes put a massive block on talking about the person, you know, talking about the person for who they were, what they did, and what they achieved in their life, you know, their loves, their hobbies. Like, it kind of just overshadows it, and it's not fair, you know. Like, it should be, it's just like any other death, you know. The person's gone. It's a bad thing, but we should still be allowed to talk about them and talk about them in a positive light.
A lot of the people we've talked to as part of this series talked about feelings of anger, feelings of blame, even in rational sense as adults, knowing there was no blame, and feelings of guilt. Are they emotions you can identify with at the time and even now?
Yeah, it's definitely. Like, I would be a very optimistic person, and I always try to think in a positive sense. No, and I think whenever it comes to anger and stuff, I wasn't angry at anyone. Like, I wasn't angry at anybody or my daddy even. Like, it was just something that had happened, and something that, in a weird sense, it was like, you know, the only positive that came from it was like, I was approached by somebody not that long ago, and he says, like, you know, for how bad it is that your daddy's dead, and how sad it is, and how like unfortunate and disruptive it is that, you know, there's goodness has come out of this. Like you've helped me by doing the endurance events and raising the money and raising the awareness. Like you've helped other people. So that's something. But there was mixed emotions in our house. Like I remember when my daddy died, the day of his death. Like I remember walking around the back of the house and I was just hitting my head off a brick wall. Like I was literally I'm not metaphorically saying that. Like I was hitting my head off the wall and I couldn't feel nothing. I was just like, what is this? Like what's going on? We had a black Labrador and the Labrador was crying next to me and it was like hell on earth. And, you know, it was my worst nightmare had just come to me. And then it was just a bad, rough period of my life.
But to give people like some hope, you, as you mentioned there, you are a mental health advocate now. You help people who are bereaved as young people and people who are bereaved as a result of suicide. Why did you decide to do that? And does that help you with your grief?
I never ever decided to do it. It's not something that I've ever chosen or a path that I've wanted to take. You know, if my daddy hadn't died from suicide, like I probably wouldn't even be chatting about this. You know what I mean? Mm. I think whenever my daddy died, it just fell like that. 10 years after, I decided to do 10 Ironman in 10 days on my daddy's 10th year anniversary because he did triathlon. You know, and then from that, people recognized that they had somewhat interest or some passion in mental health and helping people in that way. But it's not something that I ever imagined that I would ever choose to be going on. Like I always practice that I should look after my own mental health, and I do that daily as I do my physical health. But in terms of like going down this route or this avenue, like it's never been a choice for me. It's just something has happened to me that I
You've made purpose out of your dad's loss, though.
It wasn't by choice. It definitely wasn't. It was something that I'm always an active person. I'm always a positive person, and from what has happened, I'm just trying to make the best out of a bad circumstance, you know. And that's what took me down this road.
And having spoken of those really, really low moments, and that you were in a place now where you're able to do this and help people and you live through the positives, like it must still impact you day to day now, the loss of your dad.
Definitely. Like there's just wee things that, and again, for anybody who's lost anybody to anything, you know, you miss all the major moments. Like 2 weeks after my daddy died, we had both entered to do a duathlon. It was the Irish Championships, and it was a duathlon Irish Championships in Burnfoot. And I did the race 2 weeks after my daddy died. And I think I finished like third last. But it was just weird because my daddy's name was on the start list, and obviously he wasn't here to do the race, and he wasn't there to see me finish my first race. You know, and I had trained with him for maybe 2 years before, getting ready for that. At risk. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I was like, should I enter this risk, or is it too long for me? And he was saying, just go for it. Like, no, just go for it. So there's no harm in trying. And I think like just my whole daddy's mantra and his work ethic and his morals and those kind of things like stuck with me. And I think like not going off too much, but it was the occasions and stuff that really hit you. You know, the first time I went back in the pool and swam, I was crying, like, and you couldn't notice obviously because I was crying in the pool, but it was probably one of the very few times that I've actually physically cried over anything, you know. And it was just wee moments, like my firstborn and confirmations and communions and all that carry on. And you know, my daddy's not going to be here to witness those things, and again, that's around every bereavement, and it's just those wee things that you sort of be thinking, I wish my dad was here, like, for these things.
And just finally, Danny, and again, thank you for being so honest. If somebody's listening who has gone through what you went through, if they've lost a parent to suicide as a young person, or as anyone really, but they've lost a parent to suicide, what advice would you give them that might help?
It would be literally just to try your best and look after yourself and follow sort of five really, really natural, back to basic things that is good for living and a living organism. And it's really simple. You know, get outside in the nature and get as much vitamin D in as you can. What's good for your mental health. Look after what you're eating and look after what you're drinking. If you're gonna eat something, try and make sure if you're lifting something off the shelf, it ran, it swam, or it grew or flew. Keep things really simple and really basic. Look after your mental health and your physical health. Do things that you love to do, and don't be afraid to do it every day. It's not being selfish. It's taking a wee bit of time for yourself, and you'll be a better version for the people that you love and you care about. And lastly is making sure that you get enough rest. Take time out and have conversations with people who are going to make you sleep better at night and not affect you that you're not sleeping as good as you could possibly sleep. Look after yourself really and look after the person beside you.
That's wise advice, Danny. Danny, thank you so much for sharing your story. Your dad, Cullum, sounds like a wonderful man. People can find you on Instagram at Danny Quigley Health if they want to follow you for all the things that you do. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm on social media and all that there. I try to not be on it too much, but I am on it.
Well, people can see the sort of work that you do. Tell us just briefly about the swim you did a little while ago.
So I did a swim from Lufford to Kennego Bay. So I swam the whole length of the River Foyle over 4 days, and then I did another couple of days on Kennego Bay swimming. But it was called the Celebration of Life, and it was for anybody who wanted to nominate somebody who died from suicide, a family or a loved one, or anybody who wanted to nominate them. They would send me their name and a picture and their favorite song, and I would swim a kilometer for them. And I ended up getting like 140 different families who nominated different people who had passed away from suicide, and they all gave me a song. And I had like these wireless waterproof earphones that I swam to, so I had the music of those people playing, their favorite songs. Obviously, they're not with us anymore, but I did the swim. So I swam the whole foil. It was about 140 kilometres altogether for celebrating the lives of anybody who had died from suicide. There's a lot of people there, but and again, it's not everyone, but it was courageous for those families to come forward and nominate that person, in the sense that, again, like the stigma that surrounds it and the fact that nothing's ever been done for those people since. That there's no way of remembering them, in a positive way, and for what they love and what they like to do. And I felt that the Celebration of Life swim, so the Foyle, the river, I swam the River Foyle, the Loch Foyle, and then out on the North Channel. It was a rough week, but it was for a good cause.
It's wonderful work you did, and remembering those 140 people, for each of those 140 people, they had a whole circle of that wanted to remember them. So you helped a lot of people for that, Danny.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you very much for joining us. Well, Danny Quigley.
Thank you, Claire.